They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then down in verse 46, it says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meals or their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you do provide as we just think about your provision for these gloves, for these servicemen over in Iraq, Lord. We thank you for the provision there. God, we also thank you for the way that you have provided comfort when we go through difficulty and trial. And I do pray for my family, Lord. I ask that you would open a door, a wide door of opportunity to share your grace and your truth, Lord. Lord, we know that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And even in the midst of trials and difficulty, we know that you are able to work a work. And so I know that you're at work in this situation, Lord, and we pray for Brooke this morning. Lord, all of us united together in prayer, we come before you and we pray that you would touch and you'd heal this little child, that you would remove this cancer from her young body, Lord. Heal her completely and wholly, Lord, to glorify your name. And we pray for Pastor Pat this morning as well, that you would touch him and heal him, that he'd be able to get out of the hospital quickly this afternoon, maybe. And Lord, we pray that you would heal him to where he wouldn't have this problem any longer with this scar tissue. But God, would you bless this time as we look into your word? Would you teach us and instruct us by your Spirit? For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. As last week I shared with you some of the things that the Lord had impressed upon my heart as we come into a new year, specifically the two words, simplify and focus. I've talked with a whole bunch of people this week saying that, man, that's exactly what the Lord's been speaking to me as well, is that I need to simplify and be able to focus. And so we are going to give opportunity for that this year. But also as we step into this new year, I want to consider just some of the things that we as a church do here at Calvary Chapel. The kind of what, why, and how is what I've been thinking about. What is it that we're doing? Why are we doing it? And how are we doing? And as we look at the scriptures, we're given very clear instruction. First, Christ gives us commands as a church, what we are to do. And then we see the early church practiced a certain form of church and the way that they followed the Lord and served the Lord. And then there was the exhortation of the apostles. And so we're going to look at a few of those things this morning. Christ's command, the early church's practice, and the exhortation of the apostles. And just what it was that the church 2,000 years ago was doing, the same thing that we are seeking to be able to do today as well. And as I look around the church in general, around our nation and the world today, really, I believe the church has largely drifted from what it is that the Lord has initially called us to do. What is the commission, first and foremost, that he commanded us and that he gave to us? Of course, we know that that's found in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28. So if you'd turn there, we're going to start this morning with Christ's command. What is it that he has told us to do? And why is it that we're doing these things? Well, first and foremost, it comes from the fact that he commanded us to do it. And so at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the very last words of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, just before he ascends into heaven, a verse that many of you could quote because you've memorized it. He says in verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," even to the end of the world. Now, as I look around this world today, I truly believe that we're living in the last days. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first began, amen? And we do pray for the soon return of our Lord. And as we look at the conditions of our world, it just seems to line up perfectly with prophetic passages of the Word. And so I believe that we are living in those last days, but we are promised here that the Lord would be with us even until the end. And so we know and are assured because of his promise and his word that God is with us. And he's never going to leave us or forsake us. But in his being with us, he has given us a commission. He sent us on a mission to go into all the world and make disciples. Now, this word "go" here is interesting when you read it in the original language, because it really seems to intimate, as you are going, make disciples. You know, it's something that we should be doing in our daily lives. Wherever we are, we should be seeking to preach and teach God's word. And we're going to see that that was one of the exhortations that the apostles gave, the apostle Paul most specifically, to the early church, to Timothy, that they were to be those that understood and knew the word of God, and they preached it and they teached it. Not just the pastors, not just the elders or the ministers of a church, but for the entire body of Christ, that we are to be those that are making disciples as we go, seeking for an opportunity to share God's word, the truth of the gospel, and then to give forth the doctrine, the instruction, the teaching. And so as you go, make disciples, teach all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. That's the area of discipleship. And so we have both preaching and teaching given here in the Great Commission. Now, this Great Commission, I believe, stems out of God's great commandment. What is the chiefest of all the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what? Second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so stemming from the great commandment comes this great commission. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we are to take that word of eternal life into the world. And we're to take this message. Jesus also, at the end of his ministry, just before he ascended into heaven, at the end of the Gospel of Luke, he told his disciples in Luke 24:47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so they were to go to preach repentance and remission of sins. And we saw just a few weeks back in Acts chapter 2, how that when Peter stood up and preached that day, that was the message that he gave. Repent, all of you, and be converted. It was the same message that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It was the same message that John the Baptist gave in Matthew chapter 3. It was the message that was preached by Peter to the Jews there on Pentecost. It was the message that was preached by Peter there to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. It was the message that Paul preached as he went all about his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, as we're going to see. The message was consistent because it was commissioned and commanded by God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to go and preach repentance and remission of sins to all peoples, beginning at Jerusalem. So it is a mission that God has given to us, and it's a mission that we here at Calvary Chapel of Escondido want to fulfill. We want to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to preach the gospel and to disciple the saved. And so, you know, one of the threefold mission, I guess you could say, of our church has been for a very long time, win, disciple, and send. And we want to make sure that we're preaching the gospel, that those who don't know the truth would come to the knowledge of the truth. And then once a person has been saved, they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they've received him as Lord and Savior, we want to disciple them. And so we are committed to discipleship here at this church. And we want to make sure that every single person is thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's why we have the ministries that we have here at Calvary Chapel. And what we're going to do this morning in just a few minutes is I'm going to ask different ministry leaders to come up and share with you from the men's ministry and the women's ministry and from the youth ministry and Josh from school discipleship and young adults and so forth, so that we can share with you some of the different things that are going on here. But all of them have this aim and purpose. We want to win the lost and disciple the saved, and then ultimately take those who have been discipled and send them out into effective ministry. Now, when I say send out, I mean a couple different things. Yes, we send people out into foreign mission fields, just like we saw the Belize team leave yesterday morning for a short-term trip. And we've seen other missionaries from our body go out on long-term missionary trips, whether it's been to the Philippines or to Scotland or to Germany or Donna down in Belize. And so we are committed to sending people out into the greater mission field around the world. But we need to recognize that mission starts at home. And we are missionaries here, every single one of us here in this room today. If you know Christ Jesus as Lord, you're a missionary here in Escondido, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts. Right here at home first, it starts. And so we want to make sure that in this year, 2009, we want to look for opportunities to reach out into our community to be able to take the precious, glorious truth of the gospel to those who don't know him, but also to offer opportunities for discipleship here, because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. And shouldn't the church be doing what Jesus told us to do? I mean, it makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to you, because that's what we're doing. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Preach repentance and remission of sins. Not only do we have the command of Christ, but we also have the practice of the early church. And we're going to be studying that through the rest of this year as we go through the book of Acts. And we started this morning with Acts chapter 2, which gives us somewhat of a peek into the practice of the early church. What were some of the things that they, the gathering, the assembly together of those that followed Jesus, what were they doing? It was very clear and it was very simple that they continued. We see there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That means they studied the scriptures. They were those being discipled by the apostles. And so they continued in the apostles' teaching. They continued in fellowship. And so we want to offer opportunities for fellowship here. They continued in breaking of bread and communion, partaking of communion together. We do that once a month here on Sunday mornings, but we offer communion during the week as well on Wednesday mornings. And so, you know, we want to give opportunity. But I hope that if you're a part of a home fellowship, as the early church was, if you're a part of a home fellowship, that you partake of communion as well within that context. Several years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and she was going to a seminary, and it wasn't a part of Calvary Chapel, a different denomination, and they had gathered together for a Bible study, a group of the students from the school, and they were at somebody's home, and someone said, "Hey, let's partake of communion." And a few of the people said, "No, we can't do that. We don't have a priest to lead us." And I thought to myself, that to me is heartbreaking. Because you don't need some priest to lead you. That's what we see in the book of Hebrews very clearly, is that we have Jesus as our mediator. He has made the way open, and we can partake together of communion anytime, anywhere. And maybe you don't have crackers and juice. Maybe you've got Skittles and water. I don't care. But you can remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ with whatever you have. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a stretch, Skittles. I don't know. But, you know... But we can take the time to remember his death, burial, and resurrection with whatever we have. We have a tangible way of doing so. And so the early church, they broke bread together in remembering what he had done. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And we want to be committed to prayer. Why? Well, first and foremost, we see that Jesus was, even though he is God, he was a man of prayer. Throughout the scriptures, we see him going to a quiet place alone to pray. So much so that his disciples came to him in Luke chapter 11, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw something in him that really stood out as it related to his prayer life. And so we offer opportunities for prayer here at the church, whether it's, you know, Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock, or Josh with the Sunday night prayer meeting at, what time is it at? 7. And then Kelly has a group of ladies that get together and pray on Wednesday afternoons. And so opportunities for prayer corporately, but there's lots of opportunities. There are a ton of different prayer cell groups within our church that I probably don't even know about, but there's a lot of different people that get together on a regular basis to pray together, to intercede, to bring their own needs before God in supplication and bring others' needs in intercession. And so the early church, they did these things. We also see in Acts 2:46, I read it earlier, that they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They gathered together as a corporate group, as a larger group. And the biggest place for them to meet during that time was still at the Jewish temple. There was within the temple, there were different covered patio areas, and it seems that the early church resorted to a place called Solomon's Porch. And that's where they often went to gather together, especially on the first day of the week. But they would gather corporately there in the temple. But then breaking bread from house to house, they were involved in what we today might call home fellowships. Now, they didn't call them home fellowships. That was just the way they did things. That's just what they did. They gathered together from house to house as smaller groups. And we have about 7 home fellowships here at the church, but it's my desire in this new year that we would raise up new leaders for home fellowships. And so if you've gone through our School of Discipleship, we'd really like you to go through our inductive Bible study class. And if you would like to teach a home fellowship, then come talk to myself or Josh or one of the other pastors, because we want to start some new home fellowships this year and give opportunity for the body of Christ to be gathering together from house to house, to eat their meal with gladness and singleness of heart. This is how a church is united together as one, through fellowship, through breaking bread together, and praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the church was evangelically minded, that they were those that were preaching the gospel, but it was God who added to the church. Because as we saw a couple of weeks ago in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And so we have the command of Christ in Matthew chapter 28 and Luke 24 and other places in the Gospels. And then we have the practice of the early church here in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be studying through it a lot more as we go through Acts this year. And then we have the exhortation of the apostles. And one such exhortation that really stands out to me is the one that the Lord used to call me into the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'd turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, right after the book of Galatians and just before the book of Philippians, Ephesians chapter 4. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the ministers within the body of Christ, within the church, those that are leaders in the church. And he says that those positions are appointed or ordained by God. God is the one who sets these positions up. And we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that he, Jesus, gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. It is Jesus who has set up these positions. He has called and ordained people to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? What is their purpose? Now, for a long time in church history, it was viewed that the purpose of the leaders is to do all the ministry, all the work of the ministry. But that's not what Paul said. The exhortation of Paul was that God has given these leadership positions, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, it is God's call upon my life to make sure that you are equipped to do the work of the ministry. Because God has called every single one of you here this morning to the work of the ministry. Now, that has a lot of different forms. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that this body has many different members. And there's a lot of different areas of ministry. And here at this church, throughout a week, there's a lot of different things that are going on, whether it's with cleaning crews and security teams in the parking lot, or it's with the video ministry next door, or the children's ministry, or the youth ministry, or the ushers and the greeters and the women's and the men's. And there's so many things that are happening right here at this campus from week to week. But then there's a lot of stuff that's going on outside of the walls of this room here from week to week, with people that are involved in the ministry here, with the convalescent ministry, with home fellowships, with the ministry that Dave is doing in the parks and with the Most Excellent Way down at the Palm Tree Lodge or whatever it is. And so God is doing a lot of different things, and to be able to effectively do the ministry that's been committed to us here, it can't possibly be done by the several pastors that we have here on staff. That it can only be done as we, as a whole, are equipped and ready to do the work of the ministry. And so Paul, he exhorted the church at Ephesus that they would be those, the elders were to be those that were equipping the saints, perfecting them, raising them up to maturity, so that they could effectively do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Because there is coming a day when we'll all be gathered to the Lord, and we're looking forward to that. And so Ephesians chapter 4 gives us that clear outline of the leadership of the church, and so we follow that here at Calvary Chapel. We have a hierarchy of leadership, but the purpose of it is not so that you can exalt us. The purpose of it is so that we can teach you and equip you so that you are ready to do the work that God's called you to. We want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Another exhortation that is great is found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, Paul in 1 Timothy is writing to a young man in the faith. He was probably in his late 20s, early 30s. And he says to this young man in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and he was the leader of the church at Ephesus at this time, let no man, 1 Timothy 4, 12, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. Be an example of and to the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He was to be one that people could look up to in his understanding of the word and the way he conducted himself, in his love for God and for others, in the fact that he was filled with the Spirit. How do we know if a person is filled with the Spirit? What is seen in their life? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And so he was to be an example in spirit, in faith, and that he was willing to and actually taking steps of faith. And also that he was one who was an example in purity, that he was a saint, really. Now, a lot of times when I say saint, your minds go back to a very Catholic understanding of a saint, but that's not what the scriptures describe. A saint is a person who's saved by grace, amen? And you and I, if we've been saved by the grace of God today, have been made saints by him, by the work that he has done in us. But he says, be an example to the believers in word and conduct and faith and love and spirit and impurity. And then he gives him an exhortation. Until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And so this was the command, this was the exhortation that Paul gave to the young pastor, Timothy, there at the church of Ephesus. And I believe it's the same sort of command or call that the Lord has given to me and to the other pastors here at this church. He says, until I return, give attendance to reading. Now, the word reading there in the original language, it simply means to read through the scripture, but it means to read it to the point where you own it, where it's a part of you. You see, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency sometimes to read various things. People send me emails, I read articles, and sometimes we just peruse through them and scan through them really quick, and we don't really get a lot from it. You know what I'm talking about? It's that first form of reading where you just briefly read through it. And sometimes we can read our Bibles like that, where, hey, I read 10 Psalms today. Well, what'd you read about? I don't know, I read 10 Psalms. You know, it's you just kind of speed read through it. But the word for reading here means reading to the point of understanding and owning that it's a part of your life. You hold it now. It's yours. It's not just words on paper anymore. It's words in your heart, the word of God in your heart. And so he says, give attention to reading. And then from that reading will come exhortation. Now, exhortation could also be translated preaching. And so he said, church, you're to give attention to reading and understanding the word of God. And then, pastor, you're to give attention to preaching the word of God. And then the third word there, give attention to doctrine. Doctrine can also be translated teaching. And so reading, preaching, and teaching are important aspects of the church. And that's why we do the things that we do here at Calvary Chapel. He goes on to say, do not neglect the gift that was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands. Meditate upon these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your profiting may appear unto all, so that you may be an example, is basically what he says. Do these things and you will be an example in word and faith and love and purity and so forth. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you do both save yourself and those that hear you. And so Paul to Timothy says, you are to read, preach, and teach the word and be an example. And that's what God has spoken to me and to the other pastors here at this church, but he's also spoken it to every single one of us, that we need to be those that are reading the word of God. And as we are reading the word of God and owning it in our own lives, he will give you opportunity to give it forth to other people, to preach it to other people, and to teach it to other people. There's a lot of people in this world that have a lot of questions about the scriptures and about God. And you, very likely, are going to come in contact with them more than I am because you work with them or you go to school with them or you're just around them in the community when you're at your kid's soccer game or whatever it may be. You're going to bump into these people that they don't know God and they have questions. And so they want to know and they're going to ask you. And it's okay to tell people when they ask you, well, I don't know, but I'll find out. But make sure you seek the scriptures and find out. Study to show yourself approved as a workman woman who is rightly dividing the word of faith, the word of truth, and you're not ashamed. Paul also gave another charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy, in his second letter to him in chapter 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 1. He said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant or ready, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, you need to be one who is ready to preach the word at any time, anywhere, and that you're able to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He gave another exhortation to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a couple chapters before that, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ, and the things that you have heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what I'm looking to do. I want to be able to raise up, and so do the other pastors here at this church, raise up other godly men and women who understand and know the word of God that can do biblical counseling, that can teach home Bible studies, that can be a part of the children's ministry or the nursing home ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, so that we can effectively fulfill the commission and the command that God has given to us to go into all the world and make disciples, not just converts, but disciples. The church has been bent on making converts. And that's why sometimes they'll just, at the end of a service, say, here, just pray this prayer with me. And then at the end of that prayer, they say, all of you that prayed that prayer, you're saved. You know, no, God desires that we would be disciples, not just merely converts, that we would be raised up unto maturity. And that's why he has called and set apart the ministers of this church, the leaders of this church, not just the pastors, but the elders and those that are leading different Bible studies, overseeing those things. And we want to be committed to this. And it's my desire that every single one of you that are here would not just be here only on a Sunday morning, but that the Lord would stir in your heart that you would be raised up to step out and to effectively minister to this community. There are a lot of people within 5 miles of this building that don't know God and don't have a clue about his word. And they think they know something. They have some form of spirituality. Spirituality is a big thing in these days, to be spiritual, but nobody has any idea what they're talking about when they just say, yeah, he's very spiritual, he's very spiritual. Why is he spiritual? I don't know, but he's spiritual. Well, what spirit are they following? And we want to make sure that people understand and are built upon the word of God. And so that's kind of the what and the why, but how? Well, I think one of the best descriptions of how is given in the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 4. There, when tasked with building back the city after it had been destroyed, there was a man by the name of Zerubbabel, and the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed, and he was tasked by God to rebuild it, and it looked like an impossible task, and it was. But in Zechariah 4, God told Zerubbabel the builder, in verse 6, he said, it is not by might nor by power, but by my what? My spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not a work that you can effectively do by yourself. And that's why Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And the Holy Spirit's power is available to you and I today. And we need to rely upon the Lord and ask him to fill us and to equip us and to direct us, and he will. He promised to do so, and he does so every single day. And if you say, well, I don't think I can be an usher. I don't think I can be a children's ministry teacher. I don't think I can help in a nursing home. You know what? In your own strength, you're right. You can't. But by the power and the strength of God, you can. And it will be a testimony to him and his power, because he's the one that's to be glorified. And so those are some of the things that, as we're looking through the scriptures, it's why we do the things that we do here at Calvary Chapel. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? How are we doing it? It's all laid out in the scriptures, and we want to be a church that's built upon the word of God. And I believe every ministry that we have here has that same focus and same purpose. And so I wanted to take time this morning with the time that we have remaining and ask some of these ministry leaders to come up and share with us just some of the things that the Lord is doing within the ministry that they're overseeing and what the Lord is kind of laying out before them. And so first I want to call Ken up. Ken is an elder at our church, Ken Pilbin, and he has been an elder for a number of years. He oversees our men's ministry and has for quite some time and done a great job. And all you guys that are a part of it, you know that he's a great leader of it. So, Ken?
Well, real quickly, I just want to kind of give you an update of what's going on with the men. You know, God has given men a great responsibility in the church, at home, all around. And he certainly desires to equip us. And it's the desire of the men's groups, the men's ministry, to do that, to equip men to accept that responsibility and to administer that in everywhere that we are, in church, at home, at work, all these different places. And so we do that by, you know, I'm a guy, and I know how hard it is to be out in the community, out wherever, and try to live a Christian life while also being a part of the world that's around us. And so it's my desire that we as men get together as often as possible, that we could see other guys that desire to seek the Lord, that are having those same struggles, that can get together to have godly friends, guys that desire to seek the Lord together. And so we have quite a few opportunities to get together throughout the year. We often have potlucks, probably at least 4 a year. We have men's breakfasts a couple a year. We have a retreat once a year, every February. A men's conference that we, for years, went up to Anaheim, the men's convention center up in Anaheim. And that's every October. These last couple years, we've done it live via satellite, which has been great here at the church. We have Bible study groups that meet every Thursday, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Share group that meets on Saturdays. Once a year, we get together and have a golf fellowship. We have a Storm Baseball Fellowship Night in the summer that we organize. We have a softball team that plays on Friday nights. We paintball every now and again. So there's lots of opportunities for guys to find a Christian friend, to find somebody to hang out with that when things are tough, whether it be at home, at work. Right now, many of you have lost your jobs. You've got guys in our men's groups that are unemployed. There's somebody to pray with, somebody to talk to. It's just a blessing to be around guys that are seeking the Lord. Some of the things that are coming up here quickly are the men's potluck. We have that coming tomorrow night. And the men's potluck, kind of what happens there is we get together about 6:30. We circle around the grill and talk to Jim as he's cooking. But we get together about 6:30. We have a meal together. There's a potluck. You have in the bulletin, you can see your last name starts with A through D. You're bringing a drink, and E through whatever's bringing. You know, we have side dishes. We have dessert. So we get together. We eat for about 45 minutes to an hour. We have a time of worship together. Jared's going to be leading us tomorrow night. Jared Beck's going to be leading some worship tomorrow night. And after that, we have a time of teaching. And Pastor Eric is going to be teaching tomorrow night. It's just a great time of fellowship. We have a bunch of guys that get together, hang out, get to eat together. Great food, great fellowship, and a great opportunity to meet guys. And again, that's a real important part of our walk. Also coming up this Thursday is our men's Bible study groups. We have three groups that meet on Thursday. This session, we're going to have one that meets on Friday as well. On the back table, you'll see a blue sheet that you can grab, and it's got maps to each of the groups. One on Thursday night meets here. There's a couple others that meet at different homes. And then on Friday night, it meets that one meets at a home as well. Any of the men's leaders, assistants, or hosts, anybody here that you can stand up? Bruce. Dave. All right. So look at the maps there if you're interested, and see which one's close to you. Kind of the format of the men's group is, you know, we're busy guys. We desire to have fellowship, but it's not a stressful situation. It's an interactive Bible study. We have a time of worship to start, and then we get into our Bible study. There's only five questions, guys. Five questions. Not a rough thing. But it's formatted in such a way that you could spend a question a day, or you could spend 5 minutes on a question. So whatever works with your schedule, that you can come to the Bible study, be prepared, and hear how God spoke to each other through these questions. Also, we have a time of prayer at the end, which is great. You know, as Pastor Miles is talking about with the small groups, that's just a great opportunity to have someone pray for you. And what an amazing thing it is to hear somebody praying for your wife, someone praying for your job, someone praying for your son that's not feeling well. It's a blessing to be able to pray for one another on a personal level, and we get to do that on Thursday nights. Also coming up is the men's retreat. We have those once a year up in the mountains, which there's plenty of snow up there. Our kids are coming back here this afternoon. We go up to Big Bear. It's coming up the second weekend February, so it's not Super Bowl weekend. The 6th, 7th, and 8th, and you can sign up in the back. The theme is No Compromise. The speaker is Brad Dacus. He's the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Looks like it's going to be a great Bible or a great retreat. Looking forward to it. And the format there is we go up on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening. We have dinner and a main session that evening. And then we have Saturday, a couple main sessions in the morning, free time in the afternoon, main session and an afterglow type thing on Saturday night. Sunday morning, we have a main session, and then by lunchtime, we're headed back home ready to go for another year. So that's the format of that. Just want to encourage you guys to get involved. You know, there's a lot of great opportunities. We have opportunity to serve all the time. Whether it be helping folks in our church move, whether it be helping them do landscaping or paint or whatever it might be. One of the things I wanted to encourage you to do is to get on the men's ministry email list. Anybody get who gets emails from me on a periodically? Yeah, get on that list. That email list, you get an opportunity to get a reminder as to what's going on. You know, events-wise, you get an email about opportunities to serve, which is great. You get an opportunity to go out and serve with guys and get to meet more guys and to bless somebody. It's an awesome opportunity. So on the men's table back there as well is the men's ministry email list that you can throw your email address on there, and you can get added to that list. You know, the kind of theme of the men's ministry, the theme verse is in Hebrews 10, where it says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another of all the more as you see the day drawing near." And again, we have an opportunity to get together. We have an opportunity to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And I'm telling you, when you get together on a Thursday night, it's hard to get back out after work, but you get there and you're blessed. It's a great opportunity. You know, guys are, you're in the Word. You know, everybody's got issues going on and coming from all different walks of life, and yet we get in there and we study together. And, you know, when I first came to this church 10 years and 2 weeks ago, I didn't know anybody except for my neighbor, Eric Jeltness, and my dad, Ken Sr. He calls me Ken Jr. He's supposed to be Ken, but he's not too excited about the Ken Sr. thing. But but those are the only two guys that I knew when I came here. I went to a Bible study with Eric. Tom Bruce went to that, led that study. He since has gone on to start a church. Josh Olson was in that Bible study. I think you know Josh. Scott Hirschlib, he's leading a men's group. Jason Brower has been in that group, and he's leading the men. Jim Bollinger, we had just a, you know, there's just a lot of fruit that comes from a men's Bible study. And so I just want to encourage you to head out to the back table there and sign up for something. Get involved. Get on that men's ministry list at least so you know what's going on. God bless you guys.
Robbie, if you want to come up. Robbie Rare leads our women's ministry. Robbie and Richard have been a part of our church for a long time now, and she's done a great job leading the women's ministry, and so if you want to share with us.
All right. Well, I was thinking it'd be fun if the women could join the guys sometime and do paintballing. That sounds like a lot of fun. I was telling Lorraine next to me, I want to do that. Well, I just want to share with you that the goal for women's ministries is to provide the women here at Calvary opportunities to grow in your walk with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to meet one another, to have those fellowship opportunities, and to have opportunities to serve one another. So a couple of things. Well, I guess the best place for you to grow in your walk with the Lord is through our women's Bible study. And I had a chance to share a little bit last week, but just to recap, women's Bible study meets on Tuesdays. We have a 9 a.m. study and a 7 p.m. study. Our morning study just started back this last Tuesday. They're continuing their study in Isaiah. I don't get a chance to go to that because I work, but Jeannie DeBenedictis heads that up, and I understand it's just a wonderful study. So if you're available Tuesday mornings, I really encourage you to get plugged in there. They do provide child care on Tuesday mornings. It's for infants through preschoolers, and we have those notebooks available at our women's ministries table out front. And just wanted to remind you that every Sunday we have our women's ministries table available. So if you have any ideas, any suggestions, any questions, always feel free to stop by there. There's always someone to talk to. Now, the Tuesday evening study begins this Tuesday, and we're going to be starting a new study. It's called Live Intimately, and it's a 10-week study. Jesus is focusing on his time he spent with the disciples in the upper room. So it sounds like a really good study. I'm really looking forward to that. And both studies meet in the youth center. And then I was thinking of places where you can meet one another, places for fellowship. And we have something new beginning. Pastor Josh mentioned it earlier. It's called Girls Night Out. And it's going to be a once-a-month fellowship. It'll be the third Friday of every month. And our first one is this Friday coming up. And the whole purpose is just a fun way to get to know one another. Each month we'll have a different theme, a different activity. Of course, we'll have food. You know, we always have to have food. And we're going to have sign-ups every month, and we're going to have just a small supply fee so that when you come that evening, you don't have to bring anything. You don't have to worry about it. You just come, show up, and we'll have a good time. So we are presently taking sign-ups for that at the back table. And then we have another opportunity of meeting one another is a ministry called the Mothers of Grace. And that's also a once-a-month fellowship. They meet the first Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. in room 7. And this is basically for moms of little ones. And Teresa Pilbin heads that up. So if you have any interest or any questions about that, you can contact her. We do have a flyer on the table about that, so you can pick that up as well. And for places to serve, I was thinking that we have our women's breakfast. They're quarterly. Christy Olson heads that up. They meet on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. It's an opportunity, if you're interested in getting involved with helping maybe to set up the tables or to help clean up afterwards, that's a great opportunity to serve. Our first one for this year is the 31st of this month, and Donna Kent is going to be sharing with us. For those of you who don't know Donna, her and her family just recently returned from many, many years in the Philippines. So I'm really looking forward to her sharing with us that morning. We also have a Women's Ministries newsletter, and it's called Salt and Grace. And Jennifer Brower is the editor of that. And we have a flyer here. It's always on our Women's Ministries table. If you're interested in submitting an article, we would absolutely love that. If you want to just write out your testimony or just write out maybe something that the Lord's been doing in your life, that would be really great. So that would be a way that you can serve the women here at the church. And then we also have our women's retreat. And all of these activities are, you have fellowship and you're going to grow in your walk with the Lord. But then you also have opportunities to serve one another. But we have our annual women's retreat as well. And that will be in June, the last weekend in June. We're booked for Murrieta Hot Springs again. It's a beautiful facility. If you haven't had a chance to go, I hope you get to go this year. The theme of the retreat is Don't Look Back. And we'll have more information as it gets a little bit closer. I encourage you to maybe start tucking away $5 or $10 each pay period so that when the registration begins, it's not such a hardship. And we just would love to have you join us. We'd love to, you know, get to know you and have you have a chance to get involved. And then I just wanted to read to you one quick scripture out of Jude. Let's see here. Jude 20. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." And so I just wanted to just reiterate what Ken already shared. We just want to have opportunities to get to know one another, to grow together, and to be able to serve one another. And it's a blessing to be able to serve you ladies here at Calvary. Thank you.
Eric, are you here? Come on up. Eric Siaka is one of the pastors on our staff. Eric, of course, oversees all the chaplaincy things that are going on in the county, and really the Lord has opened up huge doors for him. He could probably talk for hours about that, but you know Eric, he'll talk for 30 seconds. But also, he oversees our young adults ministry. He's doing a great job with that, and so, Eric, share with us.
Good morning. Really quick, the young adults group meets on Monday evenings. We're going to start back up on the 19th. It's been a blessing. We have about 15 to 20 young adults from different backgrounds, not only our church, but other churches and some of the colleges. Some of them don't even attend a full-time church, but they show up on Monday nights, and it's an interactive Bible study, and we make it. There's always a point to it. There's scriptures that we're going through, but it's the practicality of living our lives, and if you know me, you know my mentality. It's practically living God's life out for people to see in the environment you're in. And so that's what we stress, and we work real hard at just, you know, dealing with the situations that they're dealing with, and we attempt to, fellowship as much as possible. We have different venues. We have different things. This year we had our first Christmas dinner as a group, and it was a blast. It was really fun. We did a white elephant gift exchange, and everybody brought a different ornament to hang on the tree, and it was just a real neat little thing we did. I really enjoy it. Sometimes it doesn't seem like I'm the guy to do it, but the Lord has really laid it on my heart that we really need to train up these young adults in how to live Christian lives in the environments they're in. And so that's the primary ministry I do besides the chaplain stuff. On the chaplain end of it, and what I really covet is the prayers that I receive from the folks here. And if you don't know by now, and I'm not saying this in any type of way to sound like a braggart, but I oversee California State Firefighters Association as the chaplain for them, and we're putting together a program to have chaplains throughout the state that are trained and qualified to be able to minister the word of God to a 24,000-member organization all over the state of California. And it's really just humbling that the Lord would allow me to do something like that. And I definitely don't feel I have the qualifications. But as Miles said earlier, it's the Spirit that moves within us and works within us that does what needs to be done. I'm moving over to from Vista Patrol with the Sheriff's Department now to Search and Rescue, which is a whole different ball game. You can pray for that. That requires a little bit more of movement on my body. So I would really covet your prayers for that. I still work for Escondido Fire. I work for the County Medical Examiner's Office once a week. And 90% of the times, 95% of the times, as I minister to the people, it's never a good situation. And usually when you leave, you find yourself asking the Lord, I have no idea how you're going to work this out, but I know you will. And every now and then, you know, the Lord allows me a little bit of a tidbit to know that something went right, that he actually lets me know. I know he does, but just that he let me know, you get that every now and then, and it's such a blessing. I, again, just covet your prayers tremendously. As you go throughout your day, if it just comes to your mind, just pray for us, all the chaplains. Miles is the latest addition to Escondido Fire. We'll be bringing him on here in about a week, and we're just looking forward to what the Lord's doing. He's just moving in a mighty way. Oh, one last thing. While out on a call with the medical examiner's office, we ran into some park and recreation folk that have really been in some real interesting situations, and their hearts and their minds are open for a chaplain. And if you understand, and I think you do, the way the society is heading, being the religious representative to these folks that don't have a clue as to what God is doing is tremendous. And there's a lot of opposition. There's one chaplain's program that's being disbanded and having their badges pulled and no crosses. I mean, it's just crazy. But the Lord continues to open up the door for us. And I really believe it's because we just solely and totally rely on him and his Spirit to do the work. Amen? Amen. Thank you, and God bless.
You know, if anything, the ministry that Eric is involved with the chaplaincies throughout the county, it is a real declaration of God's ability to open doors, because the Lord just keeps opening great doors of opportunity before him, and he's got to be one of the most busy people I know now because of the things that the Lord's opening before him. So it's kind of one of the things that we're desiring to do is to raise up chaplains within our church here. You know, if the Lord is stirring your heart to be God's representative in a very unchurched environment, then, you know, come talk to Eric, and we want to be able to set you up in that capacity. Another ministry that obviously is a great important aspect of our church here is our youth ministry, and Jason is next door right now teaching the youth, and he had a video that we'd show, but it would take a little bit too long to show it this morning, and I just want to run down a few things, and I'll probably have him share in a couple of weeks about what's going on with the youth ministry, but this year we've actually turned the junior high ministry over to Nick Burt. Some of you know Nick, just a young guy in our fellowship who grew up within our church, discipled here. He's on our staff as our facilities guy, but now he's doing the junior high ministry, and the Lord has opened up great doors for that. And Steve Dodd was leading the junior high for several years, and now he's focusing on the youth worship team, and you've seen them lead in here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and he has done just an awesome job. To see what he's done with the youth worship team is just a great blessing. And the Lord is doing neat things in our youth ministry. A number of our kids in the youth group, both in the high school specifically, are signing up to be junior counselors at Camp Allendale, and we have three different high schoolers that are teaching their Christian clubs on campus at their schools, their public schools here in town. You know, one of the neat testimonies from junior high camp, one of the junior high girls in our fellowship, she wanted to help some of her friends go to camp, so she started baking cookies and selling cookies, and she ended up raising $1,200 and sending six people to camp. So... So that's just a neat thing to see how God moves on the heart of a junior higher to stand up and to provide in such a way. And then, you know, of course, we have our Spanish ministry, and Roberto oversees that, and I'm going to have him share in a couple of weeks about what's going on with the Spanish ministry, and Pastor Mark overseeing the convalescent ministry and the seniors ministry, and a great ministry I'll have him share soon, too. And then, Josh, if you want to come up quickly and talk about the School of Discipleship and what the Lord's doing with that, it is... a desire that the Lord placed in me a long time ago to make sure that we have a very clear, systematic way of raising people up and developing disciples in Christ. And I know that's how I was trained. The Lord raised me up into the ministry through the School of Ministry here at our church. And a lot of those that are serving today were part of that School of Ministry. Ken was a part of it, I believe, and Todd Kent and Matt Dotson, and so many people that have been a part of serving here at our church went through the ministry there. And so Josh is overseeing our School of Discipleship now, so...
It is. It's an awesome thing to see God's faithfulness, and again, he's raised countless, I mean, I was trying to think of all the people's names and everything that have gone through our School of Ministry years ago in the past, and they've been effectively released into effective ministries all around the world, not just here. So it's just an amazing thing. We do strongly encourage each and every single one of you, if you haven't, to get plugged into the School of Discipleship. It really is the foundation for everything that we're doing, everything. I mean, it's a solid foundation. And God has blessed us with the materials that we're using. Courses 1 and 2, if you haven't gone through the School of Discipleship yet, on January 26th, our 2009 calendar for the School of Discipleship is starting. Monday nights at 7 p.m. here. Course 1 just starts off discovering the good news. What is biblical salvation? Just walking you through, like taking you from ground zero, like you don't know anything. And the whole purpose of it through books 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, ultimately, is to lead you to maturity in Christ, where you understand all these things that Miles was talking about at the beginning, sharing with other people. But discipleship and going through those courses, that's not the starting place. Again, evangelism, sharing your faith. On the 26th, we're not only having course 1 begin, where we strongly encourage all of you, but if you've gone through courses 1, 2, 3, whatever, we encourage you to go through the way of the master, which is just learning to share your faith simply, effectively, the way Jesus did. Scott Kramer is going to be teaching that, just walking you through, just from ground zero, how do you share your faith with people practically, where it makes sense. I can honestly tell you, all the years I've been sharing people, this is the way I share with people now, 99% of them, 99.9% of them, even if they walk away, but they always, they'll come back and they'll say, man, thanks, I've never understood this before. Even Christians come back and tell you that. Man, it makes so much sense. So again, just very simply, so there's evangelism class, course 1. If you've gone through courses 1 and 2, and you haven't taken course 3 yet, Dr. TV is going to be here starting the 26th, teaching course 3. It's an apologetics course. Why? How can you trust the Bible? Why is the Bible even put together the way it is? The authority of Scripture, how can you rely on it? And so many other things, covering world religions, and so practical, so practical. So Dr. TV is going to be teaching course 3 starting the 26th. And then we're starting something new. Todd Kent, again, just come back from the Philippines. He's going to be teaching just a 5-week class that we're calling Exploring Missions. Why do we even do missions? What's missions all about? What's the motivation behind it? So if you're interested in missions or just what's going on and why do we even do what we're doing, Todd's put something together. He's putting some stuff together and from his experience and from the Word. And so again, those four courses, evangelism, course 1, course 3, and then Exploring Missions. Just like Miles said, we all have questions, we all have problems, every single one of us do. And you know people in your family and at work that have the same questions, the same problems. We want to equip you so that you're able to effectively, simply, directly from the Word of God. Just give them the truth, very simply. So that's our desire of the school of discipleship.
Let's stand together. We could go on with a lot of different things. We've gone over our time, though. And lots of different things going on here at the church. In the next few weeks, we'll have some more of the ministry leaders come up and share about some of those things. One of the things I just want to share with you before we go, how many of you have seen our show on public access cable before? A number of people have come to our church because of that, as a part of that. And the Lord has really used that. And most of you know that these cameras up here are for that. And every service during second service, there's a few guys next door in what they call the Bat Cave over there and making the show. And they've been faithful to do so. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few weeks. But they are in need of someone who could help be a director and producer, you know, with the show, that they could train up to do it. And so if you're interested in those kind of technical video sort of things, come and talk with me after the service, because they'd really love to have your help with that. And every week, our services here at Calvary Chapel are in a million homes in San Diego County. And it has not really cost the church anything for the last 12 years that we've been on the air. It's an amazing thing that God has done. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, you have done amazing things, great things you have done, and you're not finished. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up within this church more and more servants to start more and more new ministries, Lord. Sure, we've got a lot of different things going on with men's ministry and women's and youth and children's and so forth, but God, there's many other things that need to be done. And so I pray that you would equip us, Lord, and that you would raise us up to fulfill the ministry that you've called us to. For we ask it in Jesus' name.